spend a little time looking into the Word of God. I want to read over in St. John. The 8th chapter. Jesus was dealing with the Jews, the Pharisees, and different ones there that were discussing things with him. And they knew what they believed. They had it settled in their mind what they believed. And they thought they knew who they was. And they said Abraham was their father. And Jesus was trying to give them under a little more understanding. And I want to pick it up in the 42nd verse. They said that they had told him that we have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. We live in a world today that, if I can use the expression, has been dumbed down to what actual real truth really is. I'm going to ask you a question tonight, and I want you to ask yourself, how important is truth to you? How important is what you understand to believe is truth? How important is that to you? How important will it be at the judgment? You know, that's the real question. What I believe tonight to be true, will it support me? Will I be able to stand with that at the judgment? At the foundation of every person's life, we find his beliefs. The beliefs shape his values, and his values drive his actions or his behaviors. What people do, how they act out in life, is because of something that they believe. And they believe it to be true. I think it's very important tonight that what you and I believe about our eternal souls, what we believe about what God says, is very important to us, that what we believe is truth. Jesus said, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. How do you handle the concept of information that you receive and what part of it that you will believe and what part that you will not believe? I asked someone one time that I knew that had been coming to our services for quite a few years and still hadn't made any move towards the Lord. And I said, how can you sit under the sound of the gospel time after time after time and hear the word of God go forth and not accept what you are hearing. They told me I accept the things that I believe, but the things that I don't believe, I just throw it out. You know, that's a very dangerous way to live. That's a very dangerous place to be when it comes to the Word of God. What part of the Word of God am I going to choose to throw out? What part of it am I going to choose not to believe? When we come down to where you and I are making those kind of choices, we're getting ourselves in great trouble with God. Getting ourselves in great trouble. Jesus told Pilate when he was standing before him, he said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth." Now I believe what Jesus told us is the truth. You know, I can tell you a lot of things that maybe happened in my life, and you don't necessarily have to believe all of that. But there's this little sign up here that said, "Jesus said, you must be born again." You know, I tend to believe that. Apostle Paul didn't say it. Peter didn't say it. But even if they had said it, I believed it. But Jesus said that you must be born again. Well, the word "must" means there's no other way to do it. Got to be born again. Jesus also said, "If you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come." Jesus said that. There must be something to it. He came down from God, His Father, and He told us these things. And I feel a great weight to the words that Jesus spoke to us. If I die in my sins, I cannot live with Him. I can't do it. In other words, it's not possible. There are people today that are asking God to do things in their lives that God can't do. Did you know that? Because they won't meet the conditions of the Word of God. I don't choose to believe what God is saying. I choose to believe what I want to believe. You know, that's a concept that's in our world today. It's only true if I believe it. If I believe it to be true, then it's true for me. You know what that does? You can believe something all along, and then when something else comes along and it looks a little bit better than what you believe, then you're going to take that, and all that does is lead you to confusion. What is truth? Isn't that what Pilate said? What is truth? God is interested that you and I know what truth is. He wants us to know. He has not hid Himself from us. He has revealed Himself to us through His written word. And He wants us to know the truth. Because it's the truth that we heard today that sets us free. And it's only that we accept and believe the truth that's going to get us inside of God's heaven. If we believe the truth. Well, there's a lot of people questioning truth today. How do I know what to believe? How do I know how to believe it? Everything depends, folks, on the honesty of your heart. In all of your dealings with God, you've got to start with the heart. It's got to start right down in that inner man. That place where your conscience is. That place where God can come and speak to you. Where that conviction rests upon your heart. But all dealings with God, it has to start in the heart. And if we're not honest in our dealings with God, we're going to miss the truth. We're going to believe things that we shouldn't believe. Without honesty, we will be led away from the very truth that we are seeking. I'm seeking truth. I want to know what's right. But if I'm not honest in my heart, it's going to lead me away from the very thing that I am seeking. Now I want to ask a question here. How can you believe something to be true and honestly know in your heart that it is false. Do you know people are doing that today? We have a concept, as I said before, if I believe it to be true, then it's true. I found it very interesting in our local radio at home. The young boy had went to school, and this is what he was taught. The teacher said, if I believe it to be true, then it's true, but if I don't believe it, then it's not true. And he told his father, he said, you see that wall over there? His father said, yeah. He said, I don't believe it's over there. I don't believe that's a wall. And he said, I'm going to show you. So you can hear the sounds of his feet, and he takes off running, and he runs into the wall and lands on the floor. The father said, now, do you believe? I believe that's what's going to take for some people in their lives to run into a wall and find themselves into a place where they realize that their way is not the right way anymore. When they realize that they don't have the control of their life that they once thought they had. When they realize they're going the wrong direction. When they realize the enemy is leading them down a path of no return. And he's leading them down a path that will not only destroy their bodies, it'll destroy their bodies, won't it? Sin will destroy the body. But he's more interested in destroying the soul. What do you believe tonight? What do I believe? Do you know that right and wrong was established for us by God? True and false, bad and good, as we begin to get understanding from a child up, we begin to learn what is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong. And we find that the Lord deals with us through our conscience, through our heart. And God reveals Himself through our heart. But if I'm not honest with myself, and if I'm not honest with God, and I choose to believe something different, I'm not going to receive what God has for me. If I choose to take my way and my path, and I choose not to believe that you must be born again, I can do it my own way. Jesus also said, if any man climb up any other way, same as a thief and a robber. The gospel that has been preached at Monarch over the years and everywhere else that the gospel is preached, folks, is preached for the benefit of our souls, isn't it? We're here for the soul benefit. We're here because we want to see everyone see inside of God's heaven. But folks, I want to tell you tonight, and you probably already know it, but there's a price to pay to get inside of God's heaven. We're going to have believe and accept the Son of God as our precious Lord and personal Savior and friend. We're going to have to believe in that. We're going to have to believe. We're going to have some faith to believe that Jesus was sent to die for you and I that we would not be eternally lost. When a human mind begins to tell itself something that is true and knows that it isn't, it's only a matter of time until he becomes confused as to whether or not anything is true. There's another scripture I want to read. It's found in Titus, first chapter, 15th verse. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Even their mind and conscience is defiled. If you are unbelieving tonight to God's word, and you have decided that what you believe is better than that, and you believe that the world has something better to offer you, I want to say to you tonight that nothing is pure in your heart, and your mind and your conscience is defiled. That's what the scripture says. It said they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work a castaway. a reprobate, the scripture says. Cast out. Who has the right? Who has the authority over each and every one of us tonight to cast us out? God does. God is going to do that someday, isn't he? He has the authority. He has the right to do that. He is our creator and created you and I out of dust. But he loved us so much that he breathed into us the breath of life and we became a living soul that'll never die. Whether we go to heaven and eternity or whether we go to hell, that soul is going to live on forever. You don't have to believe that. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. Whether you believe it or not, it's still true. It is still true. People that are unbelieving are telling their mind and their conscience things today. They're overriding God's dealing in their hearts. They're being dishonest in their dealings with God. And they're going their own way, taking their own path. And they're getting blind in their own hearts and minds to the very direction that they're going. I don't see it. I just don't see it. I don't see it that way. I don't see those things out there. Young people and everyone else in here, I want to tell you, there's a lot of us older folks know what's out there in that world. Some of us went out there and tasted it more than others. But I want to tell you, there's nothing out there away from God that is good for you. Nothing out there that is away from God that is good to you. You look at our country today, and you see what direction that it is sliding. You know, I think about, it said, the conscience being defiled. Oh, we didn't get where we are today overnight. We got there by degrees. Slowly and slowly and slowly. You know, I remember back when I was a little boy, and I didn't. My mother and father brought me to Monarch and other places. They didn't take me to the beaches. But I remember seeing pictures in the papers of women's bathing suits. And I want to tell you, when them women put on a bathing suit, they were covered. It covered just about everything. It went down to the ankles when they first started putting on their bathing suits. Where are we today? It didn't happen overnight, but gradually, little by little by little, we as a society have been accepting things that are contrary to what God's Word said, but now we believe that it's all right. I believe it's okay. I don't see anything wrong with doing it. I believe it's okay for me to do those things. Conscience has been defiled because they have not been honest in their hearts in their dealing with God. Folks, if you're not honest and you're dealing with God in your heart, He can send conviction after conviction after conviction to your heart, and you have the ability to reject that. You have the ability to resist that. When you are not being honest with God and God is dealing with your soul, I'm going to tell you what is happening to you when you are resisting that. You are getting harder and harder and harder against truth. You are getting more to a place where you may be so confused that you'll never be able to understand what truth really is. We need to know what truth is, folks. God works with you and I through His Word and the Holy Spirit. That's how He deals with us. That's how He deals with every one of us, saved and unsaved. And He establishes in every one of us a basic understanding the difference between right and wrong. We only understand that through God's Word and the conviction of His Holy Spirit. That's why the moral society is the way that it is out there today. They have rejected the Word. They have rejected the Son, that's the Word of God, and they have rejected the Holy Spirit, and now they are wandering around out there tonight, conscience all defiled, don't understand. The Bible says the day would come when they would call evil good and good evil, and we're there. We are there, aren't we? God, Holy Word, And His Holy Spirit is the only thing that can give us understanding, moral understanding of what right and what wrong is. That's why He gave the children of Israel the Ten Commandments. Until that time, they fully was when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and they lost the grace of God. The only thing they had left was to follow their own passions, to follow their own ways, to follow the way of man. It's the only thing that they had left. And so the Lord eventually brought His people to a time when He gave them the Ten Commandments. It was a government for them. It was to help them to understand there are some things that I, as your God, will accept and will not accept. And He told them all the way back there, thou shalt not kill. What is America doing today? We've been killing babies wholesale for years. I heard the other day, what someone say, up to 50 million now? How long can America keep doing that? How long can we as a people keep aborting and killing babies? How long can we do that? I'm glad God loves us tonight. And I tell you, He's a lot more long-suffering than I am. But He was long-suffering with me. He suffered a long time, and I often wonder why. But I'm glad that He did. And I believe He's being long-suffering yet, allowing us to have these kind of meetings and opportunities to find God, opportunities to get His Son in our hearts and have that seed in our hearts where we can be made alive and new creatures. And folks, that's the only way we're going to make a change in this world is become new creatures, because that old creature out there in the world doesn't understand. They don't believe what truth is. Oh, it's so important for us to believe what truth is. When we don't understand these things, and you can see it in society, man soon abandons himself to the pleasures and the lust of the carnal of his carnal flesh, because he has no other path to follow. His conscience has been defiled. His mind has been defiled. He refuses to believe what the Word of God says. He refuses to accept the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon God's Word. Folks, that is such a dangerous place to be. Such a dangerous place to be. When you come to that place, you know what else happens? The fear of a holy God is lost. People lose their fear then. They have no fear of God. Messages after messages, conviction after conviction, but the fear is gone. Because they have abandoned God, and you know what? God is abandoning them. Jesus spoke a lot about hell, and He spoke a lot about the lake of fire and where the soul never dies, and the fire and brimstone and all that. But you know that scripture in Thessalonians that tells us that we'll be, if you're cast into that place, that you'll be separated from God for eternity. Separated from God. Do you see, take a good look around you today and see a nation that's turned their back on God. Kicked Him out of the schools. Kicking Him out of here. Kicking Him out of there. Don't want prayer here. Don't want prayer there. And you see what's happening. You see how the sins of man is running rampant in our world today. God has withdrawn His Spirit, as we heard the other night. We don't have that umbrella of His Spirit like we once did. And people have lost the fear of God, and so they set out to do those things that are in those undefiled minds and in those wicked hearts, because they choose not to believe what God's Word says. And then Jesus said in one place, then the light that is in them becomes darkness. We live in a dark world today, don't we? gross darkness, the people, the scripture says. Now, with those things being said, people today, you and I are exposed to so much. There's so many influences around us. You know, back when I was growing up, why the preachers talked a lot about the cigarette habits and the alcohol habits. And then as time progressed and the years got a little farther along, then we realized that the drugs were a problem. And then we realized today that the sexual delights of mankind has just been let go, turned loose, because hearts and minds and conscience has been defiled. You know, sin is progressive. It starts out with the little things, but it'll take you to the big ones. It'll take you to those things that'll destroy you. But the old devil, I don't believe that just because he's had all these years to do it, I don't believe he needed the practice, but the devil is very deceptive. And he set out to deceive every one of us, if it be possible. Today, the newfangled gadgets, Brother Ed mentioned the telephone the television the other night. But he mentioned the internet. The internet is dangerous for people that don't believe. When we refuse to accept God's standard of morality in my heart, and I'm being dishonest, and I'm going to take my own way, the internet is dangerous. And you know, it's amazing what you read in the papers. The young people have made cell phones dangerous. They're not just texting messages nowadays, they're texting pictures. The enemy can take anything that man invents and he can abuse it. If it's possible for mankind to mess up a good thing, they'll do it. But it's all because of the condition of the heart. You know, I look upon individuals and I really feel sorry for them. I'm saddened for them. I don't believe they really mean to do those things. But there's another man living in that heart. They turned themselves over to every, he said, in every good work, a reprobate. Turned over. I know from having four children, and I have grandchildren, and even one of them starting to drive now, I know their peer pressure is really hard on our young people. I want to fit in. I want to belong. I know that's hard. Somebody else is doing it. Why can't I do it too? I want to tell you tonight, what you believe is very important. It's what's going to act out in your life. If you believe what the Word of God says, you don't have to do everything that everybody else is doing. You don't have to do those kind of things. But you need a good concept and an understanding in your own mind. And the only way you're going to get it is to be honest with God. Got to be honest about these things. What is ethical? What is moral today? Those are questions that are going around out there. What's the right way to do things? What's the right way to live today? Well, we enter the safety of this net that we have here for this week that we're here, folks. We hear, we learn, and hopefully we understand and receive a lot of truth and begin to believe the things that we hear, so it will help us when we leave this place and go out there in the world. But these questions of what is moral, what is right, what is ethical, these questions are causing spiritual, emotional, and relational struggles in many of our own people. Struggling with that. What is right? Rebelling against parents' counsel and advice. I learned with my own children many years ago. I learned that someone else, when it comes to these kinds of things, more than likely, someone else is going to be able to help them to understand and see it better than I am. They'll take it from someone else better than they will their parents. God is not just trying to control what we do, but He wants to instill the right values in us based on what the Bible teaches. That's what God wants. For everyone, He wants to instill those in your heart. But if you take that idea or that concept, and it's only true if I believe it to be true. Someone said one time that a student at a college came over to the professor and they said, I got it. Said, the Bible's true because I believe it. He said, no, you still don't have it. The Bible's true whether you believe it or not. And I believe that's right. I believe I can say tonight that the Word of God is true whether you believe it or not. If we don't have, and there's many of us in here tonight that knows what I'm about to say. They understand what I'm about to say. If we don't have these values in our hearts and in our lives, we can expect our lives to reflect pain and consequences from wrong choices. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Do you know I had to learn that the hard way? Shouldn't have had to. I was raised in this. Saved as a young boy. Shouldn't have had to learn it. But I had to go out there. One of these hard-headed fellas. One of these people that had to do it his way. And had to go out there and learn for myself. I can't direct my steps. I saw where it was taking my life. What it was doing to my home, to my family, my children, my wife. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus came along and came looking for me again. Oh, I'm so glad He did that. I didn't even know He was doing it. Drove 900 miles down to see that brother over there, my brother. My sister said, you need to go down and see where Kenny lives. And foolish me, I knew there was a meeting going on. Camp meeting going on in Laranja, Louisiana. And I drove 900 miles with my family to see where my brother lived. And I was there 3 days and I was under such heavy conviction, I said, wife, I can't stand this. Can't stand it. We're either going to have to go home or I'm going to have to go to the altar. My wife was tired of the way I was living. She said, it sounded to me like you need to go to the altar. And that's just what I did that night. What is truth? The devil doesn't know what truth is. He told me when I came out of that chapel, I'll never forget it. There's two things that he told me. I stood out under that tree and I was so confused. I'd been away from the Lord for 20-some years. And I thought, you know, I feel light. I know this is the way you're supposed to feel. I feel good. The devil come along and said, you're not going to hold on to this. He says, your wife, your children, they don't know anything about this. You'll never be able to live it at home. And then you know what he said? He said, now you're going to have to pray every night before you go to bed. Can you believe that? I never forgot that. Now you know you can't just run and jump in bed. You're going to have to pray every night. Take time to pray before you go to bed. The devil said that to me. Well, I found he's a liar. He said I couldn't do it. And I didn't, but the grace of God can do it. See what he wants to hide from you? People get the idea, it's what I can do. It isn't what you can do, but it's what the grace of God can do in your life. All you got to do is believe and be honest with God. That's all you got to do. There's a scripture that says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. I might have told this, but I knew a man that lived a very, very bad life. He was in his mid-70s. Got a phone call from his daughter. She said, "Dad wants to talk to you. He's in the hospital, but he doesn't want to talk by phone. He wants to talk to you face to face." I walked in there. He told me, he said, "The doctors have just told me I've got cancer in two places in my stomach." They showed me what they wanted to do. And then they wanted me to do chemo. And I looked at him and I said, "Carl, it's time now to quit trying to cheat life. Quit trying to cheat God. It's now," I said, "it's too late to try to figure out how you're going to live. You need to get ready to die. You need to get ready. You've been cheating God. You've been cheating people. You've been dishonest all your life." And he was a dishonest man. A very dishonest man. I could say a lot about that, but I won't. But I said, "It's time now to do business with God." "You know what?" He said, "I know that. You're right. You're right." What I didn't know, that before I got there, he'd already been doing some business with God. Because he knew the right way. He knew the right way. And before I left, I said, "Can I pray with you?" He said, "I want you to." Now, I knew that man all my life. And that's the first time I ever heard that out of his mouth. I took his hand, bowed my head, said a prayer. When I finished, he said, "Bless the Lord." My head jerked up to see someone else got in the bed. I never heard him say, "Lord," unless he was taking his name in vain. The man was my brother. I knew his life. My mother and father took clothes and took food over to his family when he was out drunken on the streets and living in the gutters and playing cards and drinking in the saloons. I knew the man. I knew his life. I knew what a cheat that he was. I couldn't believe that he said, "Bless the Lord." I thought, something's happened to my brother. Why do we have to wait till we get down to that point in life? Why do I have to wait till I'm 76 years old and cancer's coming on and I know that tomorrow," he said, "I'm going home and I'm going home to die"? Why do we have to wait for that? Do you know what's going to keep everyone out of heaven that doesn't go there? Unbelief. Not willing to believe what the Word of God says. That is the only thing that's going to... Unbelief is sin. But that's what's going to keep men and women out of heaven, because they refuse to believe God's dealings with their hearts. You're going to have to believe, folks. The Bible says God isn't mocked. "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." I've never seen anyone get by with anything but that. That's a fact of life. That's a fact of nature. Whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. He went home the next day, and just two or three weeks, I visited him and a lot and prayed with him and so forth. He never did want prayer before, but he did now. And he died. Do you know, I wished my family wouldn't do this to me. He's the third one of my brothers to pass, and every one of the family has asked me to do their funeral, which I don't feel like is very fair. But nevertheless, I did his funeral. He had six children, five girls and a boy. Of course, they were all adults. They're all adults. And I thought, what am I going to say at my brother's funeral with the life that he's lived? Mom and Dad taught him. He was one of the biggest headaches my mother had. Maybe put her in an early grave, I don't know. She died just before she turned 63. And you know, the Lord gave me this, the text over there about the man that got his penny. So I went to the funeral and I stood there before the people. Now his family, and his friends and people were there. And I told them. those of you that know me know that I'm pretty much straight up with what I'm thinking and what I believe. I said, right over there lays a sorry man. I said, he was a scoundrel, he was this, he was that, he was a thief, he was a cheat, and I went on and on. And when I got done, one of his daughters gave me another adjective. And I said, yeah, he was that too. He was that too. And I said, if it had been left up to me, I wouldn't have had mercy on him. That's me talking, see? I knew the hurts that he had brought, the pain that he had brought to my mother and father. I saw the living room all destroyed and lamps busted all over the place when he come home in a drunken stupor. I saw all those things. And there was one time in my life that I actually hated my brother. The Lord saved me, took all that. But I said, I wouldn't have had mercy. But I want you all to know, and I want you to know tonight, every one of you, God is a merciful God. His mercy, His compassion, His love goes way beyond what any one of us has here. Way beyond what any one of us has here. God will reach down to the lowest depths. He did for David. He lifted me up out of the miry clay. Now, mind you, I said, you don't have to do it that way. You don't have to do it that way. There's no guarantee that God's going to show the mercy that He did to Carl. There's no guarantee for that. With that, I want to read a scripture that's found in Romans, the 9th chapter. Fifteenth verse. For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Who said that? God said that, didn't He? Do you understand tonight that God is a sovereign God? Meaning He rules over all creation? Meaning He doesn't come down and ask you or me or anyone else for permission to do what He wants to do. He does what He will in the affairs and in the hearts of men. If you don't believe me, if you ever get to see Nebuchadnezzar, ask Him. Because He did what He wanted to do with Nebuchadnezzar. You know, I was telling the congregation at home, what's that term they have when they genetically changed fruit and foods and things like that? God was way ahead of that, folks. He genetically somehow changed Nebuchadnezzar. Made an animal out of him for 7 years. And when he came to himself, he recognized the God of heaven. It seems like for some of us, we have to push it to the limit. We have to push it as far as we can go. Not realizing that God is a sovereign God. And He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But down in the 18th verse, He said, therefore hath He mercy on whom He will have mercy, and whom He will, He hardeneth. Didn't His word say, my word will not return unto me void? But it will accomplish. It's going to accomplish something. And He said, it'll accomplish that which I please. It will either soften your heart or it'll harden your heart. You've, every one of us that's been here any amount of days this week, the Word of God, there's enough of the God's Word that has come to you and I to soften our heart, to tender our heart, to nourish our hearts, to help us to grow and understand the things of God, or there's been enough to go forth to judge you and I if we refuse it and if we turn it away. God is a sovereign God. Last night, the thought in the scripture was that it is appointed unto man once to die. And he dealt with the after this. But I take it, I want to take it more than just after tonight. But when you die, whether it's the end of time or the end of your life, it's judgment. It's judgment time. And you know something? You may not believe that, but it's true anyway. I've done my share of funerals over the years. 19-year-olds, right on up and down. And I know that there is an appointment that we're not going to miss, whether I believe it or not. It doesn't have anything to do that this is a sovereign God that has these things in His hands and says, there is an appointment for you, and you're going to die. And after that, you're going to be judged. Now, another scripture says, all things are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. I'm going to get a little close right here. I'm going to get a little personal right here. But I want to tell you something tonight in the fear of God. Because I believe God has charged me to say this. He sees the good and the bad in each and every one of us. But God is not going to judge you and I just on how we behaved ourselves the last 9 days at Monarch. He's not going to judge us by the clothes that we wore, by the places that we went, by the things that we said, by the company that we kept, just at Monarch. But God is looking at us when I go home, when I'm on the job, when I go to school, in my secret places. He knows what I'm wearing. He knows what I'm saying. He knows what I'm doing. All things are naked and open before Him. Sovereign God. He sees it all. He's a sovereign God, folks. You're not hiding anything. You can't hide anything from God. We can come to Monarch and we can pretend that we have something just like everybody else. But I want to tell you something else, folks. Some of the things that you're doing, there's a lot of other people know about it. There's a lot of other people knowing about it. But that's not what's really important. God knows. God knows. I don't really want to say this, but I'm going to say it. Where I'm standing right here, this is not a desk of entertainment. This is a sacred place. And everyone that comes up here and ministers to the congregation, Lord help me, needs to have a life to support the ministry. Is that right? This is not a place to get up here and impress someone. It's not a place to get up here and impress a boyfriend or a girlfriend or parents or anyone else. But this is a very important place where we need to have a fear and a reverence as we stand before God's people and eternal souls. We need to have a life to support the ministry that we have. And if you don't have that life, I'm going to tell you something. God's not going to anoint it. He's not going to anoint a shabby life. And you know what I've found over the years? Not that I've tried to, but I've seen other people try to. You cannot fool God's people. You can't fool them, folks. I'm saying tonight, I love your souls, but I'm saying tonight, folks, there's things that some people are doing that they ought not to be doing, and it's time to fess up. Say, Lord, I'm really not in the place that I ought to be doing what I'm doing at Monarch or anywhere else that I minister to God's people. I believe that. I know that to be true tonight. When we refuse to believe His Word, God looks down in our hearts and He makes choice. He makes choice. He said in the scripture there that I didn't read it, but I'm going to read it. 17th verse, the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. He had a purpose for Pharaoh. And every time that Moses and Aaron went to them and said, let my people go, they were representing God. And every time that he went and left, his heart got a little harder. And God hardened to the place that it took the death of his own son. When that happened, he relented and let the people go. And then come right along and got hardened again, didn't he? And went after him. They went after him. And they lost their lives. God's sovereign. Oh, there needs to be such a fear of God. I want you to understand tonight who God is. He is the final say. After this, the judgment. Who's going to be at the judgment? You and I are going to be at the judgment, and Jesus is going to be there. And the next time he comes back, that's what he's coming back to do, is to judge us. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. You know, I was preaching a message one time on the end of time. And one of the scriptures in my message was 2 Peter, 3rd chapter. Y'all know what that is. Said, the heavens shall pass away, and the earth shall melt with fervent heat. The next day, I was in a meeting, so the next day, someone came to me and said, you know, I enjoyed your message last night, but I don't believe that the earth's going to pass away. I said, excuse me? He said, I've been reading books, and I've been reading about things that happened over in Bible times, supposedly, the old texts, the old books. Studied about Noah's Ark and all kinds of different things. But he said, I don't believe the Lord's going to destroy this earth. I believe he's going to leave it here. And I said, brother, do you believe that Jesus came to die for the sins of mankind? Yes, I do. Do you believe that Jesus was born of the Holy Ghost? Yes, I do. Do you believe that he died and he rose again? Yes, I do. I said, how can you pick and choose what you want to believe out of the Word of God? How do you do that? How do you believe these things about Christ and his divinity and all of that, but you choose not to believe that the heavens are going to pass away? I said, that's what the scripture says. I said, let me tell you something, brother. You need to get your head out of those dead books and get it into the living Word. Because what the Word of God says is what you and I are going to be judged by. Not those old books you're reading. I said they're going to cause you to be deceived if you're not careful. You're believing things that you ought not to believe and choosing not to believe what the Word of God says. That's dangerous. Next day, he dropped his head and he said, "Pray for me." I said, "I will." The next day, before service started, he brought one of these cups right here over to me and he says, "I want you to stick your finger down in there and touch that." I looked down in there and I said, "It's an ice cube. I can see what it is. I don't need to touch it." Well, he said, "I'm going to set it down here. When service is over, I'll be back." Sure enough, he didn't forget. When service is over, he come back and he picked up that cup. He said, "Stick your finger down." And I says, "No, I don't need to do that. It's melted. It's water. I can see that." He says, "You see, when ice melts, there's a residue." He said, "When you burn wood in a fire, there's a residue." He said, "That's why I can't believe that the heavens are going to pass away and the earth's going to burn." I said, "Brother, do you know who we're talking about here? We're talking about Almighty God. And when God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen, and there's going to be no residue when He gets done." Amen. Dropped his head again and said, "Please pray for me." Folks, be careful what you choose to believe. Don't just take and choose and pick out of the Word of God. If you do, it could cost you your eternal soul. That is dangerous. I wonder what we believe tonight to be true. I'm going to close with another text, the 24th chapter of Matthew, because it's what Jesus said. He said in the 35th verse, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." His words are going to live forever. The things that Jesus spoke to us out of the Word of God, folks, they're not going to pass away. They're eternal. They're eternal words. And then he went on to say, "But of that day, an hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." What day is he talking about? The last day. Jesus said, "I myself don't even know when that's going to be. But there's going to be a day when God looks down upon His creation and said, that's enough. People's hearts are hardened and they are turned so set against me. I don't want to see these things anymore. That's enough." And He's going to send me back and bring this world to a close. Do you believe that? It's going to happen whether you believe it or not. It's going to happen. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark." People are going on about their busy cares of life and doing their thing and all these kind of things today. And I'm not saying eating and drinking is natural things that we do. Getting married is natural things they do. But folks, their mind wasn't focused where it ought to be. In the days of Noah, they obviously didn't have a heart the way it ought to have been, because the Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness. And still there's only 8 souls saved, wasn't it? 8 or 9? But he said, "In those days they were doing those things, and Noah entered the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Can I ask you tonight, if the Lord was to come back tonight, those of us that have been here this last hour, my, it got away, I'm sorry. Those of us that have been here this last hour, can we say, "I didn't know"? I didn't realize it. The only way we can do that is not to believe. They didn't know. Why didn't they know? The preacher preached to them. They were told, but they didn't know. Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they didn't receive him, and they didn't know their time of visitation was at hand. They didn't realize it. Tonight, the visitation of the Holy Spirit is right here tonight, dealing with hearts, dealing with all of our hearts. Let's don't say, I didn't know. I didn't realize. It's a shock. Because when the door was closed to the ark, it was too late then. Oh, I know now. The flood, the waters are rising, and I know, but it's too late. Verse 44 says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. It's coming. I don't know when. I'm not prophesying that. But I know that every one of us are going to die. I know that. I don't know when that is either. You don't either. Could be tonight. If the Lord's dealing with your heart, if any of the Word of God has struck true to your heart tonight, don't reject it if you need it. Don't reject the Holy Spirit, folks, because it's going to harden you. Someone said the other night, you won't go out of here the way you came in here. I believe it was Sister Rosie. You won't go out of here the way you came in here, because you've sat under the sound of the Word of God tonight. May the Lord have mercy on us. Thank you for your time.